Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
Embarrassing for America. That's the only way to describe Joe Biden's first so-called news conference as president of the United States. He is slow, confused, and weak. And he actually did better than most people thought. How have we lowered the bar this much in the greatest country in human history? Voter ID laws are getting passed in red states. Missouri's close. Georgia passed a model law this week. Many people ask me, how do we get the country back? Well, it's a right-leaning country, and if we simply have voter ID laws nationwide, conservatives would win everywhere. We'll discuss why that's so. A man wearing body armor, carrying 6 guns and a cache of ammunition, walks into a grocery store in Atlanta. He goes straight into the bathroom. When he walks out, the cops grab him. Why haven't you heard about this story? I'll give you the answer, and it probably won't surprise you. In Oakland, the mayor wants to give $500 a month to low-income families. But there's a catch. This catch will get your blood boiling. The Sweet 16 is upon us Saturday through Tuesday. Every game the rest of the way is a standalone game. Do you have 20 hours to watch it all on a Saturday and a Sunday? I think they've made a mistake here, and I hope they don't stick with it. The Royals are less than a week away from starting. Do you have cable TV to watch? We discuss cord cutters and the Royals. Lon Kruger retires. The NFL wants to add another big game around a holiday. And the NBA ratings are completely gone. I mean, they're gone. They're just toast. Nobody is watching the NBA anymore. We'll tell you how bad it is. It's brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick, GMC, and Excelsior Springs. I can now say this because I'm a customer at Roberts Robinson. They just make it easy. Customers say it. We just make it easy at Roberts Robinson. Online at robertsrobinson.com. I've been to the dealership a couple of times. I literally was on the phone with Mike Robinson and online, and we were linked together by our desktops and built my car in 20 minutes. I got a Chevy Blazer coming. It's going to be cool. It's black. I got black wheels. It's got a sunroof. I'm excited. It's got 8 speakers and a cool stereo. I'm ready to roll. Take my wife, my dog, and roll down the road in the Chevy Blazer. It was so easy. I mean, incredibly easy, and they could do the same for you. Mike loves it when you walk in and say you've heard about the podcast. We've had a couple people walk in and get cars this week. At Roberts Robinson, thank you so much. If you're in the market for a Chevy, a Buick, or a GMC, all I ask is that you give them a call, even if you live a long ways away, and consider working with them over the phone or online if you don't want to drive to the dealership, and give them a chance. I think you're going to save some money, and I think you're going to find it to be really easy to work with. At Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Bstock.net. Well, Bstock's amazing. You know, they got this thing called Magnolia at Best Buy, and a few years ago, it was maybe a pretty good idea. People were wanting higher-end stuff, whatever. A lot of people think about Bstock.net, and you think, okay, they just have discount stuff at Bstock. They don't. They have the same stuff that is so outrageously overpriced at Magnolia at Best Buy. You're wasting your time. Don't go there. Like, they have a $12,000 TV. All right, that $12,000 TV at Bstock is $8,000. You're just saving all kinds of money on all of these. Every television Samsung makes is available at Bstock brand new. You will save money over Best Buy or Nebraska Furniture Mart. Don't forget the computer products the same way. Dell, HP, Lenovo, Apple products, they're all at Bstock.net. You can see a little bit of what they do on their website, but if you go to their outlet store in Olathe, you're going to save big. Bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. Back9development.com, the Solheim Condominiums at Grandmere in Manhattan on the Colbert Hills Golf Course. These are great investment properties, whether you want to VRBO them or rent them or have them as your a weekend getaway for Cats games or a kid that may go to college there and use this condominium. There's so many different uses for these. There's nothing like it really anywhere in the Midwest. There are very few places near Kansas City where you can get condos on a golf course. So this is a unique project from Back 9 Development. If you'd like to call TJ, just give him a call over at Back 9 Development. It's 236-0161. That's 785-236-0161. 0161 for TJ Vilkanskis. He will hook you up and let you know all the information you need to know. No obligation. And then if you decide not to buy, you don't. But if you want to get the information, call TJ. 785-236-0161 or online at back9development.com. Well, it was embarrassing. Had to be embarrassing because around the world, They must be shaking their heads about the man who's in charge of the United States after that news event, whatever it was, yesterday at the White House. Hit it!
Elite Automation presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Make your building great again. Online at EliteAutomate.com.
We did an emergency podcast yesterday for the patrons in the middle of the Joe Biden news conference because I was just, I couldn't take it. As I was watching it, I was so ashamed and embarrassed for the entire country that this man is president of the United States and is so dim, I guess is the way to say it. I don't want to be an, you know, an ageist or be on him for his age or his possible health conditions or anything like that. All I know is this man should not be president of the United States. And I don't know who could watch that and not know that. Now, the amazing part was he actually did better than most people thought he would do. So when you hear people say he did fine, it was good. And, you know, he did okay. It was what they're saying is they expected him to be a disaster. All right. You have to step back. And what really bothers me about this is not that he had, well, it does bother me that he had cue cards and notes and a printout of the reporters in the room and who to call on in which order with a photo of them so he knew which one they were. I mean, this is unbelievable. I mean, it is unbelievable. That bothers me. Okay, that bothers me. But that isn't the big thing. The overwhelming thing is I'm sitting here thinking, okay, what is Xi Jinping thinking as he's watching in China or Vladimir Putin as he's watching in Russia? What in North Korea? Kim, what is he thinking as he's watching this thing? What are world leaders and countries who have a bullseye on us that they want to target us to have a stronger military, a stronger economy? What in the world are they thinking about the immigration policies? They know what he's doing. All these leaders have something that the Democrats don't have. They have complete control, unfair elections and control. If they have elections, they're unfair elections and one-party control. It's the Communist Party in China. Putin's in control. They don't talk about communism a lot there, but he's a dictator, basically an autocrat. It's those countries have, and they're looking at the United States thinking, the Democrats are trying to do what we have. That's exactly what's going on. But they have to be looking at Joe Biden laughing and thinking, what an embarrassment for the world's superpower, economically and militarily, that this is the head of that country. I can't believe it. I was on Pete Mundo's show on Friday morning on KCMO, and I said, look, this isn't the conservative in me talking. This is not policy. I didn't say, you know, Jimmy Carter was weak as a president, right? He was not strong. He was not a strong president on the world stage. He was a peacemaker and he was weak and everybody knew he was weak and they took advantage of America for that. But he didn't embarrass you. It wasn't embarrassing that Jimmy Carter was the president. I was not embarrassed that Bill Clinton was the president. I was not embarrassed that Barack Obama was, despite their personal scams or personal problems or things that happened or weaknesses in their tenures. This is completely different. This is the equivalent of, you know, sitting there watching Castro get old in Cuba and saying, oh, he's just a puppet. They prop this old guy up that isn't doing anything and other people are in charge. That's not what we vote for in the United States. That's not the way we elect our president. You know, I've lived my whole life thinking and believing in the thing that you say, and you live this. You believe this to your core. You respect the office of the presidency. Well, this changes everything. And a lot of people on the left will point at Donald Trump and say he was embarrassing. Okay, all right, that's fine. If you thought he was embarrassing as a personality, by the way, Biden tried to be Trump yesterday in the news conference by taking shots at Trump and saying there may not be a Republican Party. And, oh, I miss that guy, Trump, and trying to make jokes. He tried to be Trump. They know that what Trump has done in politics in the United States works. They know that it compels people to vote and it gets new voters. They know this, that personality matters. It matters more than anything. In fact, Trump losing to Biden was the first election for president in my lifetime where you could say, we always apply the beer test. Which candidate would you rather have a cold beer with? Now, Trump doesn't drink, but Biden would be no fun to be around. If you said, who do you want to hang with? Who are you going to have dinner with? Use dinner instead of beer. I think everybody would say they'd rather have dinner with Trump than Biden. And he lost. And that's the first time I can remember that. That's what Obama had. It wasn't policy with Obama. He was the cool guy running for president. Everybody wanted to hang with Obama. I'd much rather hang with Obama than John McCain or Mitt Romney. It sounds more interesting. He's a cool guy. So this whole thing looks like a complete fraud. But with Trump, he didn't embarrass us on a world stage. The other world leaders, the other countries respected the hell out of him. They feared him, actually, more than anything, more than any president I can remember since Reagan. He was able to achieve peace, bring troops home through strength and fear in other countries because they thought he was a wild card. He could do anything. You want a president that's a wild card on the world stage that is tough, strong, intimidating, and a bit of a wild card. And that's what Trump was. And that works. And Joe Biden stands out there. And I can't come up with anything other than I was embarrassed for America. I mean, they're looking at him. Okay, let's see here. Grabs the paper. Who do I have next? Who am I calling on next? Let's see. And they all just sit there. And it's the only presidential news conference I can remember where they're not hollering out, Mr. President, Mr. President, trying to get their question in. So if you want to know if the media is complete liberal lapdogs for this administration, you know this. They sat 6 feet apart. They stayed in their chairs. They didn't even try to get a question in. And, if they signed ground rules, that's wrong. And Fox News is making a big deal that Peter Ducey didn't get a question in. He should have blurted one out. It's a news conference in the United States of America. Freedom of the press. I thought he wasn't in there. I thought, well, it's only a certain small number of reporters, so they must not have any conservative media outlets in there. But when I found out he was in there and ready to ask questions and never called upon, I don't know why Fox is, this is such a big deal. They didn't call on us. Well, it's embarrassing you didn't shoot a question out. What do you think I'd have done if I was in there? You think I would sit there quietly and say, we're going to have a news conference for an hour and 20 minutes, and you'll only get to ask a question if you're called upon from his predetermined cheat sheet in front of him? Come on. If he does another one of these, people got to blurt questions. He's stammering around. There was nobody talking. There was plenty of chance to be the only person in the room and stand up and say, Mr. President, I have a question, and let them shoot you down. Let them shoot you down. Can you imagine Jim Acosta with Trump sitting in there for an hour and 20 minutes and Trump has a sheet where he calls on, it wasn't very many, 7 reporters or something like that. It wasn't very many. Where he has photos and names and numbers of the order of questions he's going to take from certain reporters and Acosta's not one of them. And you think Jim Acosta was just going to sit in there and not ask a question? Do you think that would have happened? No. So the whole thing was ridiculous. The whole thing was a sham. We can go on and on about how bad the event was and how bad the journalism was. But mostly the takeaway is this is just embarrassing for the United States that this guy's the president. And I've never had this feeling about other Democrat presidents. I haven't. I mean, I'd feel no better if Kamala Harris was president, but at least I wouldn't think I'm embarrassed that people around the world who watch this stuff are going, wow, what in the world are they doing in that country with that guy? No media access to the border, we learn. Until what? Until they spend hundreds of millions of dollars and get more San Diego convention centers and all these locations to make it look like, the Hilton Garden Inn where all these people are staying. They're literally kicking out American citizens from these facilities onto the streets, homeless people that they've been housing during COVID in winter. They're kicking out American citizens from facilities, the San Diego Convention Center, the biggest one, and they're bringing in illegal immigrants to stay there. I mean, there's never been anything this bad. We're literally not taking care of our own and bringing in new people and taking care of them. It's just crazy. And there's no comparison to this. There's no comp. There's no other president. There's no other regime like this one that we can compare it to. Biden said he has no idea if there's going to be a Republican Party in 4 years. What's that about? Is that their playbook? They're going to eradicate the Republican Party. It isn't going to work because people don't like your policies. People don't like their policies. And he stood there and could never really stand up for his policies. He talked in circles and he chased his tail. But mostly, he embarrassed America. Forget the policy. He embarrassed our country because he is a frail, weak leader. And that is the last thing you want in your chief executive. Okay, the Missouri House has ratified a voter ID law. This is not law yet, but it should become law. In Georgia, they passed their election integrity bill. The governor signed that yesterday. In Georgia, it requires a photo ID for absentee balloting. This is a model for every state in the country. Missouri's is very similar. You must have an ID to vote. Missouri's going to all paper ballots. There will be no machine fraud, no chance of any computer hacking or glitches or anything like that. If something goes awry, we'll be able to take every single paper ballot and count them by hand if we have to, with oversight and honesty. You will show an ID to vote, and you will basically sign your ballot. This is good. This is all good. Democrats are going crazy over these things. I don't know how. I don't know how anybody who argues we want the elections to be fair can argue against that. Again, the liberals are on the wrong side. Liberals don't want it to be fair, okay? They want to be able to go out and harvest votes. They want the ability to, and they're trying to pass this at federal level, where they can mail ballots on behalf of states to anybody they want. And we know that Americans are historically finicky voters, that tens of millions, hundreds of millions in some years, decide they don't want to vote. If people don't want to vote, you shouldn't court them. You shouldn't automatically send it to them. You shouldn't go to their house and pick it up from them with no ID or no verification and say, we just want to get everybody involved. This is not a mandatory activity. This is something that people should be interested in doing. And the people that are most interested are almost always the most educated on the issues and what's right for America. Therefore, the system works. It shouldn't be, the government cannot mandate that you vote. They cannot harvest your vote. This is an option for you as a citizen. It's the greatest option ever. I will vote every single time. I think if you're listening to this podcast, you will vote every single time. But we shouldn't have a system that goes out and harvests ballots from people who don't want to vote. It's not right. So these bills that are getting passed are exactly spot on. You need an ID to prove who you are, period. Then you cast your ballot and you sign off on it. And we know it's you. That's just not complicated. Something should be really simple. Georgia has passed it into law. Missouri's getting very close. I like that. They have an absentee law that they're trying to pass here in Missouri that will require an ID. So they have a no-excuse absentee voting with required ID. That's good. And a lot of people have asked. I was in a text thread. I was just going to say a friend, but it was Dr. Jeremy Fry and I were texting last night. And we were texting about if all these people come in over the next couple of years, you know, why? His question is, why do we just assume they're going to vote Democrat? And I said, I think they can become conservative. They're going to have to find relatives here because the Hispanics and blacks are becoming more and more conservative. We're seeing that. Trump did that. They're watching what's happening and they don't like it. And there's a reason why they don't like it, because nobody likes it. The only people like it are politicians that want full control and one-party rule. That's the only reason you would allow this to happen. There is no other reason. It's not humanitarian. People are getting raped and hurt and injured and sick and killed as they come. We're bringing COVID into the country. We're bringing crime into the country. This is not humanitarian. In any way, is it humanitarian? That's not what this is. This is about getting votes and one-party rule. And so we have this text thread going throughout the evening, and I said, look, most of these folks, some of them will come across, become millionaires, and excel, but to be honest, most of these folks, when they say they're looking for a better way, they don't really know our way. They don't really know that may the best person win. They don't really know that. Go to America, make it for yourself. That's not what they know. What they know is, and the reason they're coming is, that country's richer, and that government will take better care of me than the government that's taking care of me now. Because where I live now, the government is not taking care of me. That government, even if I fail, or if my child fails, that government will take better care of me than this government. Those are not people you want in your country. You don't. They're simply coming in, and this sounds very minimal, and I don't mean to be a cynical person, but just a roof that doesn't leak and a meal on the table is a tremendous upgrade for so many of these people. They will have that in this country. That's all but guaranteed in this country, unless you have a mental illness. Most homeless people have mental illnesses. We don't talk about that. We always talk about the homeless. A huge number of homeless people want to live the way they live. They have their own community, their own social structure. It's bizarre. Most people can't understand it. But for some people that are disoriented or have health concerns or mental health issues, it's the way they choose to live. They don't want to live another way. There are all kinds of ways to live in this country off government support, really without being able to work. We know that. And these people know this, and that's why they're coming here. And the way we get the country back, which was the ultimate discussion we were having on the text thread, is we have to have people in this country understand what the Democrats are doing. And another huge component is what I just talked about. We have to have voter ID. It's not complicated. If it's very simple. It's the biggest fight in D.C. If there is voter ID in all 50 states, Republicans win everywhere. Conservatives win everywhere. So you can say they cheat, but they don't. If the law doesn't require a voter ID and they go out and harvest ballots and they bring them in and they're unverified and they drop names of dead people on them and they turn them in and they get counted, that's really not cheating. Nobody's gone to jail over this stuff. We just don't have good election law. Unfortunately, the Democrats have complete control right now. They're trying to federalize election law and change it exactly the way it was in 2020. Imagine that. They're trying to change it to where they can just mail ballots to everyone, no verification. You can knock on doors and say, did you get your ballot? And somebody says yes, and they say, hand it to me. I'll fill it out for you. Are you going to vote? No. Give me your ballot. I'll give you $20, and here, I'll fill it out for you. And that's what they do. And you walk around and you pay people for their ballot. And you fake a signature and you send it in and nobody ever gets prosecuted. If you have strong voter ID laws, conservatives win everywhere. It is still a conservative country. Don't be afraid of that. It is still a conservative country. We have to find a way to make sure that elections are actually results of the will of the people. And voter ID goes a long way to that. And states are doing that, which is great, but I'm really worried about what they may do at the federal level. Our little-known story of the week is from Atlanta, Georgia, which is no place to hide a story. Atlanta, Georgia was the site a couple weeks ago of a mass shooting. It was horrific. A big deal was made of that one. We know that. It was a white guy that killed a bunch of non-white people. It became a huge story. Then we saw what they thought was a white guy in Colorado kill every person that was killed that was white. And it turned out it was a Syrian-born American, so Middle Eastern descent. That didn't fit the narrative, so that one went away pretty quickly once that happened. And now our little-known story of the week is at a Publix grocery store in Atlanta. 22-year-old man walks in. He's got a couple of rifles, guns inside a jacket, cache of ammunition. He walks into the Publix and goes to the bathroom. Somebody calls the cops. The cops respond immediately. There are cops waiting for him as he walks out of the bathroom. And he's arrested. That's amazing. You should see the weapons this guy had. If you look at the picture, you can find it on the internet. It's unbelievable. I'm not anymore. I'm never going to talk. I'm going to try my best to never describe weapons to anyone. Because I did that and misspoke a couple days ago, and a lot of you know a lot about guns, and I'm not going there because I don't know a lot about guns. I'll defend rights for Americans to bear arms at all cost. I will defend that, but I am not an expert on guns, so I'm not going to try to tell you what he had. All I know is they spread him across a table after they arrested him, and it was unbelievable. It is unbelievable what this dude walked in there with, and they got him. His name is Rico Marley. They arrested him for reckless conduct is all. That's all they could get him. We have not heard the Second Amendment folks going crazy over this one. Right? We haven't heard that. We haven't heard anybody going nuts over this. The libs are not going crazy over what happened, that this person was able to walk into a store with six guns and a cache of ammunition and body armor on. This guy was ready. He was ready, and he went into the bathroom, and God knows why he was doing or what he did, but it, on all fronts, appears that a mass shooting was halted at the Publix in Atlanta. I don't know how what else you could think other than that. And nobody out there is screaming about gun control, and nobody out there is screaming, he shouldn't have the right to have these guns, or look at this horrific deal, and ask yourself why. Have you not heard about this story? Oh, Rico Marley is a black man. Okay, so this is where we're at with the press. What takes precedent in a story? We know this. Race is way, way, way more important than gun control. We've learned that from this story. They're not going to go bang their gun control stuff again until some white guy shoots some people that aren't white. Then they'll do it because it's always race. It's always race. And now the mayor of Oakland, California, has gone all in on race. Mayor Libby Schaaf is giving $500 to every household in Oakland, California, that makes $30,000 or less, below the poverty line. This would be two income earners or whatever, two capable income earners with at least one child. So it's households, it's families. They're all going to get $500 a month, $30,000 or less. Oh, wait, I forgot the fine print. Wait, you're not going to believe this one. That can't be legal. $30,000 or less, poverty line, households, families in Oakland, California will get a $500 a month stipend from the city of Oakland as long as you're not white. Look it up. $500 a month. Not for white people under the poverty line. What this is saying to people is, well, you white people are poor by your own choice because you have every benefit and every possibility to go out and make more money. You're just too lazy to do it. And it's your fault because you're white. If you're not white, you get it. This is unbelievable. It's crazy that there's not more outrage on this front. We talked about the Democratic senators yesterday that will not approve any cabinet candidates from Joe Biden if they're white. They will vote no on anyone he sends over now that's not non-white. That's against the law. It is against the law. How have we turned into a country where it is just okay to outwardly say, I'm going to be bigoted against white people? It is racism. It's not the typical racism that we think of, but it is racism. It's ugly. It's hateful. It's mean. And it's wrong. This country was built on the best candidate should get the job. And when we started becoming a welfare state and giving money away, it was very simple. We had barometers like, what is your income level? And we'll help you. Not what is your skin color? And we'll help you. It's just outrageous. And it's getting worse and worse. It just happens and happens. It's becoming so normal that it's like calling somebody a racist. You know, it rolls off people's backs now. They hear that. And you're like, nah, he called me a racist. Okay. That's on him, not me. I know who I am. That's just where it is. You get dull to it. You get numb to it. Oakland's going to give $500 a month to families that are not white. Unbelievable. COVID update, no spike in Texas. It's been 3 weeks since they went, they're done with COVID in Texas. It's been 3 weeks, there is no spike. There's nothing there. California is very close to reaching herd immunity, according to the Wall Street Journal. This was sent to me by one of our outstanding listeners, Dr. Stiles. He always sends me all kinds of cool stuff from medical journals and whatnot. They have tremendous percentages now in California. This is really good stuff. In California, Anthony Fauci has been saying the country needs to be vaccinated 70 to 85% to reach herd immunity. Vaccination of 70 to 85%. But data from California released this month shows that only 8.7% of the state's population has ever tested positive for COVID-19. At least 39% of the population has antibodies against the virus. So what they're saying is testing shows nothing. Test results are stupid. Test results do not reflect what's happened with the population. 8.7 tested positive, but at least 39% have antibodies against the virus. This is before the vaccination. So the conclusion by scientists is that at least half of all Californians have natural immunity today. And when you factor in the millions that have taken the vaccine, and you just take, if you take, in other words, if you take a number of 1 million people are vaccinated, and you know half had herd immunity, you can cut the million vaccination number in half and say, here's 500,000 more that are immune. When they come up with that number, this scientist and the Wall Street Journal conclude that within the next couple weeks, California has reached herd immunity. And this thing will die off faster than you can shake a stick. So all good news on the COVID front. We always like it when it is all good news on the COVID front. As always, I thank Dr. Jeremy for having that great discussion with me. He's a good friend. I think I spoke with three of our sponsors yesterday. And before I talk about a couple of them, I have to thank you guys. One of them was Mike Robinson. He said a guy, he just called me, said, hey, some dude just came in from Holt, Missouri, was talking about your podcast, loves it, bought a car. So nice. I said, man, that's just so good to hear. When you folks go to these sponsors and tell them that you love the podcast, you can't even imagine what a warm feeling that is, not just for me. I mean, it's great for me that the podcast works and that you're supporting the sponsors. You can't believe how it makes the sponsors feel, right? Because most of the sponsors that are like-minded are expecting to hear negative things about being associated with some of the things we talk about. And we're all tired of that. And I say this constantly on this podcast. We need to be the difference. We need to be the people that go out there and are unafraid to say, we're conservative, we love the United States, we don't like what's going on, we are not racist, I am not going to apologize for being white or whatever you may be. And not everybody that listens to this is white, but I'm throwing in certain categories of people that are just, you know, living on eggshells, pins and needles, that we're just scared to death of all this stuff. And when you support one of the sponsors and you mention, hey, I love Kevin's podcast, it gives them a great feeling. You're, without saying anything or talking about any of the content of the things that we talk about on the podcast, you're saying something really powerful to them. When you tell them you listen to this podcast, it is powerful. And I felt that from Mike when we had a discussion yesterday. That was great. And I always feel it from Dr. Jeremy, which is cool. He's got 12 area locations. If you're looking for an orthodontist, I won't spend a lot of time on Dr. Jeremy today. You know who he is. Everybody knows Fry Orthodontics. If you're looking for a better smile, go there. There's 12 locations. There's one near you online at fryorthodontics.com. Ron Buck at Buck Roofing, same way. I had a friend that I referred to Buck Roofing yesterday, putting on a new roof. Always enjoy doing that. Ron's going to be putting the roof on my new house. It should be close. We should be 3 or 4 weeks away from putting the roof on that baby. So we're looking forward to that. And Ron's a great guy too. It's the same thing. If you need a roof repair, a roof inspection, or a new roof, commercial or residential, call him, mention the podcast, and it'll make him feel great. It'll make his day. Literally will make his day. Cool stuff. And of course, Joslyn's Jewelry. Our good friends, Gary Joslyn at Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, the jeweler you recommend to your friends and family. It is also the same with Window World, which is the title sponsor. And I don't spend as much time necessarily talking about Window World on the podcast as I do. They have the cold open, which is everybody hears the Window World right at the start of the podcast. So everybody hears that. This is the time of year to call Window World. If you've had leaky windows or you need to, whether it's one window or every window in your house, they'll do the job, small or big. They have 0% financing available. They're American-made windows and doors. They will save you money on putting them in. They're less expensive than the bigger brand names for a lot of great reasons. They're also better windows. They're the official window provider of the Kansas City Chiefs. They're online at windowskansascity.com. Window World is simply the best for less, and they are in lockstep with the rest of us too. So if you're in the market for windows for your home, you want to save on energy bills. A lot of people want to save on the energy bills and do it and say, look, I have to do this. I'm going to put new windows in all the way around. But for some people, it's been raining and I got a leaky window, or I know this thing is rotted out. It's got to go. And they'll just do that too. If it's one window or a dozen windows on your house, it doesn't matter. Window World will do the job. Check them out at windowskansascity.com. In sports, the Sweet 16 is up this weekend. I like this weekend. I don't love it. I miss the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I miss the Thursday and Friday evening basketball is what I miss. I don't think I'm ready to commit to 1:30 to 11 o'clock, basically Saturday and Sunday, which is when the games run. What they've done this round, there used to be some overlap. They would start a game It'd have maybe one standalone, then they'd have a couple sort of start at a time, and then the last game of the night in this round would be a standalone game. And they squeezed it into about a six-hour time period, maybe, I think. Five-hour time period, something like that. It's not that I don't like seeing all these games separate. It's just who has that kind of time on the weekend. I may have more time on Thursday and Friday night than I do on the weekend. The weather's going to be good. I may want to hit golf balls, go to the dog park. I'm having brunch with my kids on Sunday. It's hard on the weekends to find time to watch all of these games. So while they're all standalone games now in this round, they've moved them to Saturday and Sunday. I think it's actually harder to watch all the games because, like, literally who's going to dedicate 20 hours of their weekend to this? Who's going to take 10 hours Saturday and 10 hours Sunday and say, that's it, I'm all in? I mean, I don't know anybody that's going to do that. I just don't know, especially as the weather turns and gets better. I think they're going to change forever because of COVID and go to this format. What the TV networks like is each of their games is standalone, so each game has a better chance of having a bigger audience. I think that's what they're thinking. There's no overlap with any of these games. They're all separate now, and that doesn't really thrill me. I mean, I like that they're separate, but I don't have that much time. If they separated them out on Thursday and Friday, look, you have to pick a couple games that overlap just a little bit. And it always works because there's a crappy game and a good game. And you can flip to the good one. So that actually worked for me. But they've changed. As far as on the court this weekend, I think all the pressure this weekend is on Gonzaga and Houston. Gonzaga, because they're the number one seed, they're the best team. They're playing a legitimate Creighton team. Behind that, they're either going to play a USC team that looked fantastic against Kansas or an Oregon team that is always a ridiculously tough out in this tournament. So Gonzaga does not have it easy, and they have a lot of pressure because they're the big dog in this thing. And that's not what they're accustomed to in that program. Houston, because of the digits next to who they play, they're playing an 11-seed Syracuse. Then they're going to play an 8-seed Loyola Chicago or a 12-seed Oregon State. And I think that puts pressure on Houston. I don't even think this is bold, I guess. I don't think Houston makes that out of the Midwest. I don't. I think it'll be either Loyola. Actually, I think it's going to be the winner of the Loyola-Oregon State game. I think whoever wins that game is going to beat Houston or Syracuse. Loyola Chicago is just a really, really, really tough out. And they're legit. They're a good team that plays a different style. It would be interesting to see them play Syracuse because that would be two teams that kind of play a different style and see what happens. Baylor will have its hands full, I think, with Villanova just because of the pedigree here and Jay Wright's a great coach. Baylor is an underachiever in this tournament, but I still like Baylor in that one. Arkansas Oral Roberts to me is like if I was, I don't know what the Vegas line is. If I was setting the line, I'd make Arkansas here like a 3 or 4 point favorite is all. I think Oral Roberts could win this game. Oral Roberts just manned up and beat Ohio State and Florida. All right, so Arkansas is not going to scare them. Arkansas is better. Arkansas is better than Florida, but probably not as good as Ohio State, and they won that game. So Oral Roberts clearly is a good team. It's one thing to win one game in this tournament, upset somebody, but then you turn around and you're 15, you beat the Florida Gators, and you're moving on to play Arkansas, you're ready. You're ready to play. So I think that's really, really interesting in that bracket. I like Alabama in the East to come out. I think Michigan is really good, and most of you will think Michigan. I won't be surprised if Michigan wins it, and I'm not saying any slam dunk here. Mostly I'm rooting for Alabama. I want to see Alabama. If Gonzaga makes it to the Final Four, I want to see Alabama play them. I don't want to see UCLA or Florida State or even Michigan. I want to see Alabama play Gonzaga. First team to 90 wins. Could be fun. So the tournament is up this weekend. Hope you enjoy it. It's not the same without a lot of our teams in it. Sam Mellinger wrote an interesting column in the Kansas City Star about watching Royals and Sporting Kansas City games. If you're a cord cutter, if you got rid of cable, if you're a streamer, you're going to have a really hard time watching the Royals or Sporting Kansas City. Now, comparing the two isn't fair because Sporting Kansas City gets about 1/10 as many viewers, maybe 1/20 as many viewers as the Royals do. So really, let's just, for the sake of this discussion, let's talk about the Royals. The column started kind of confusing, and Sam's a really gifted and talented writer, okay? I disagree with him on a lot of stuff. That doesn't matter. He's gifted and he's talented. But it was confusing early, and I was like, am I going to stay with this? Because this is some mumbo-jumbo. Then he gets into the meat of it, and he basically says, look, we chose to get rid of cable. We didn't like it, and we're streamers. And he subscribed, I think he said, to AT&T now and is doing it that way. And he has a great line in here. He admits and writes, this is all complicated and difficult for sports fans. Where are your games? The Royals have decided to be on cable, which is the right move because most of their viewers are older, like my mom, who is very excited about the season. I mean, we talked last night. Royals won that game 10-1 on Thursday and all those home runs. Oh, my gosh, she's so excited. She's going to go to a game. She's going back to – a lot of you ask about my mom. I'm on a tangent here now. I'll get back to Mellinger's column. My mom's doing great. Everybody in the apartment complex she lives in has been vaccinated. They went shopping together as a group yesterday. She's going back to church. We're having brunch with my kids on Sunday at a restaurant. And she says she wants to go to a Royals game. That's all you got to know about my mom. She has joy in her voice. I love that. That, you know what? If my mom has joy in her voice and she's 87 and she's shopping with her friends, living in an apartment complex where everybody has been vaccinated, is going to a restaurant Sunday with her grandchildren and wants to go to a Royals game, COVID's pretty much over. Forget the stats. COVID's pretty much over. If Granny Keats is out there rolling like that, I think you can, because nobody's taking in more information than her, I can promise you. Pretty cool stuff. So she's very excited. But Sam Mellinger admits this is all complicated and difficult for consumers because it's become apparent, and he writes, over the next 10 years, people in sports are going to have to figure this out, the TV networks, whatever. I agree. And consumers are going to have to figure it out. I don't think we're going back to a place where you have it all unless you want to spend a pile. So everybody that wanted to branch off, cut the cord, save a few bucks and do this, you're going to lose something. If you lose, you know, paying an extra 40 bucks, you're going to lose something. So Sam was a little miffed that he doesn't, this is a great line, he's not willing to, quote, juggle flaming knives to watch games. I get it. He doesn't think that we should have to as consumers. So for me, this is really simple. Like, I don't have Netflix. I've said this before. We aren't streamers. I'm on cable TV. It gives me the things that are important to me. It gives me mostly things that are important to this podcast and what I do for a living, which is news, information, and sports programming. That's always been number one for me. Everything else is so far secondary in my life, as far as bringing in cable television or internet or whatever. Almost everything that I do, watching a screen, has to do with news, information, or sports. Almost everything. I text my friends. That doesn't count. Although most times, we're texting about news or sports. So in that way, it does. So Sam's a streamer, and the Royals are on cable. And so a lot of people are having problems with this, and he had to figure out a way, and he's done that, and it's an interesting read. And juggling flaming knives is a great line, and I love that. You shouldn't have to juggle flaming knives to watch games. I don't have to juggle flaming knives. I have all 162 Royals games at my house, and I haven't had to do anything. Because I've never left. If you leave because you like streaming Netflix and you want Amazon and your Apple TV and all the other things that you subscribe to, if you leave cable and bundle up all those things and do it all and say, look, I saved 40 bucks, you're still leaving something. There's a sacrifice to all of this. Most people are kind of moving off into two camps. Am I a streamer and saving money, a cord cutter, or am I not a cord cutter and I'm staying with cable? This is an easy choice for me. Cable's an easy choice. I don't miss what I don't know. Everybody laughs when I say I don't watch Netflix. I can't miss it if I've never watched it. If I got it, I may become addicted to it, and I'd watch less sports and have less information for this podcast. Would that be good for me? No, that would not be good for me. Would it improve my quality of life if I find a series that I really like and I really enjoy it, and my wife and I? Yeah, maybe. Maybe we sit and hold hands and watch some drama every week or binge watch some things that we like. Maybe that would be great. But our relationship's good. We're good. We're simpatico on a lot of these things. So I just think we have to make choices. And for me, it's an easy choice. And I think if you like the Royals, it's an easy choice. You should have cable. Get a basic package. Get one with not very much on it. Run your internet through there. And if you want to stream a couple services, you're still spending less. It can be done. It's a very interesting column, and it's interesting because the Royals, you know, a lot of these teams are saying, we don't know exactly what to do. We're not saying we know. They want the young people. The young people are streaming. They're cutting the cord and streaming. They want those young people. There's no doubt about that. They want those young people. I think, I personally, my belief is this will all be solved when streaming is available through your cable package, just like HBO is available. I can subscribe to HBO for an additional cost as a separate entity on my cable package. I don't, but I could. I don't know how much it is, $7 or $8 a month. I don't know what HBO costs. I think Netflix is going to get to a point where they reach a subscription saturation and go, wait a second. There's 150 million people in this country that have cable TV that are not streaming us. What if we did a deal with the cable companies for the same price, whatever the streaming service is? Is it $9 to have Netflix? $9.99? $10.99? What if they offered that on Spectrum? What if I had the option to go subscribe to Netflix on Spectrum? Maybe it's a dollar more. Spectrum scrapes a dollar, Netflix gets the rest, whatever. I've asked this for a long, long time. Why wouldn't the streaming services eventually offer their service to the cable operators for a price that's a couple dollars more? The cable operator keeps a couple bucks. You've got another subscriber. Nobody has to stream anything. It's right there, simple, easy to use. It's just a different channel on my cable. Why wouldn't they? I think it will get there. I don't know why the streaming options aren't there on cable. Some of them are starting to pop up. We have Peacock. We have different things that we can get through cable. On demand certainly is there in different networks. And if you subscribe to one of those channels, you get it. I can't imagine that I can't get HBO Max through there. If I can get HBO, why can't you get Max? I don't know. I haven't looked into it. But I think that's probably where it's headed. There will have to be, and I think Sam's right, over the next 10 years, somebody's going to have to find some simplicity in this. To me, the simplicity is cable. The real simplicity is cable offering it all, and you subscribe to what you want. Give me the channels I want, not the ones I don't. Give me a menu, and I'll subscribe to them, and I'll send one check to one place every month, or have one charge to my credit card every single month for the things that I want, just like ordering off a menu. Lon Kruger is retired from Oklahoma. Lon was a terrific basketball coach for a long time, and I congratulated him on his retirement. His son just got the job at UNLV. Lon lives in Las Vegas still. He never sold his house. He was coaching in Norman, but loves living in the desert in Las Vegas. And his son is going to be coaching now, and he's retired, and my suspicion is he's going to consult a little bit to help his son, and he's going to be sitting in the stands watching his kid coach, and congratulations to Lon Kruger. He actually probably stayed in it longer than he wanted to be honest. The money was great. The job was easy. The job was really easy at Oklahoma. They didn't ask much of him. And congratulations. It'll be interesting to see where Oklahoma goes. The Arkansas governor has signed a transgender sports ban. So if you're born a male, you cannot play girls or women's sports in Arkansas. That seems reasonable. Again, liberals on the wrong side of an issue. No question. So it's in law now. It's signed into law in Arkansas. Congratulations to them. The NFL is considering a day after Thanksgiving game. I'll watch that. I will. Day after Thanksgiving game, I'm in. You guys on board with that? There's some college that day. There's usually like one pretty good college game that day. If this happens, does Missouri and Arkansas, is that affected? Because they've played the Friday after, right? How is college football affected by that? Schools will have to make their own decision, but the NFL is looking at the day after Thanksgiving, and why wouldn't they? People are home. It'll be interesting to see what time of day, because this is a Friday night. Friday nights usually aren't great. People might be going out to dinner as families after having the big stay-at-home thing the day before, but we also know that's the day people go crazy and go shopping. Generally speaking, I think football fans avoid that, don't they? That shopping lasts all day. So would you be looking at like a noon kickoff and saying, we're going to provide something for the non-shoppers here? Or do you do it in the evening and say, well, wait till everybody's back home? I don't know what time of day they're talking about, but they're talking about a day after Thanksgiving game. Pretty interesting. And we'll finish with this. The NBA television ratings are, they've tanked. It's gone. Like the NFL's just, or the NBA is just dead. It's just atrocious. The Philadelphia, how many people live in Philadelphia? 5 million? 7 million? I mean, there's millions and millions of Sixers fans. And the Milwaukee Bucks, who have maybe the best player in the game, right? They played on ESPN last week. Bucks Sixers, primetime, 931,000 viewers. That's impossible to be that low. There's 350 million people. So less than one in 350 watching the basketball game on ESPN. Lakers game. Lakers Pelicans, less than that. 920,000 viewers this week on TNT. The NBA is in real trouble, and if they don't know why, then they deserve whatever comes their way. They can fix it. The NBA can fix its problem pretty quickly in a couple of years. They can fix it. You know the main way they fix it? Not by stifling the players and saying, you can't speak, you can't do this, but by encouraging real diversity and real diversity of thought. How about they find some players that are conservative and do some PSAs with them? About the relatives they've had in the military service. And don't just prop up the military, some like real stances, some real American things, your belief in citizenship. Maybe foreign players that have come here and become citizens, great American stories. There's all kinds of conservative things the NBA could promote and bring people back in. Or at least say, we see you, we hear you, we recognize you. More than half of America is just, if you were an NBA fan, has just walked away and said, I can't take this anymore. I know what you stand for. I know what you're about. You love China as much as America. We're out. We're gone. We don't like what the players stand for, what they say. We've checked it. We can watch other basketball and other sports. People will leave you. The NBA has made a critical mistake over the past couple of years. Critical. And it's reflected. I can't even believe it. 920,000 viewers for a Lakers game? Wouldn't you think there'd be more than that watching in Los Angeles? I mean, the metropolitan area in Los Angeles, the Southern California area, the number of Laker fans is how many? 10 million? 15 million? 920,000 watched the game on TNT? It's unbelievable. Unbelievable how low these numbers are. Some really, really changing times we live in, and I'm pleased that you come to Kevin Kietzman Has Issues to hear about some of those things. And as always, appreciate your support. Hit that follow or subscribe button if you could. That would be helpful for the podcast. And I hope you have a great and fantastic weekend. Thanks for listening to KKHI.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Kietzman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.